You are listening to a message from Thrive Community Church, a church located in Southwest Florida. For more info, visit us at thrive-fl.org.
So we are wrapping up a short three-week series. We're talking about what are you looking for? What are you searching for? If you love alliteration, we've been using it. We've talked about purpose. We've talked about passion. And today we're going to talk about a place. And so I pray that God will bless you. And so grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus, who was, who is, and who always will be the only Savior of the world. Well, friends, here's what I would like to start with. I want you to do something. I really don't want you to think about it too much or try to answer too smartly or too spiritually, but just turn to someone near you. If they're not near you, just shout it out. But turn to the person next to you and tell them where home was when you were growing up. Where was home when you were growing up? Where was home? Tell the person next to you or shout it out. Where was home? Several different places, yeah. Now, so for some of you, that was an easy question because, like my wife Joni, she pretty much grew up and lived in the same house most of her life. That house was on West 219th Street in Fairview Park, Ohio. That was home. But for others of you, that may not have been as easy. Your family moved around a lot like my family did. Friends, by the time I was 18, we had lived in six different houses. It wasn't that my dad was in the military at the time or anything. We just moved a lot. And so I used to tell people that my dad was in the witness protection program. Okay, I didn't really do that, but I just made that up. But so I grew up in Ohio, but now I live in this version of paradise known as Southwest Florida. At least it's paradise in the winter. And now this is home for us. But you know, friends, this whole idea of home can become, I think, a little complicated. I mean, is home where you grew up? Is home where you live now? Is it where you wished you lived now? Where is home for you? Where is that place that you actually long for? You know, the smartest guy in the world, a guy by the name of Solomon, Ecclesiastes chapter 3:11, says that our God has placed eternity into our hearts. So friends, inside of each of our hearts, there is this portion of eternity that longs for something greater than what happens to be in front of us. We have this desire, if you will, to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And our Lord and Savior Jesus has prepared that home for us. He's covered our sins. He's adopted us into His forever family and has prepared a place for us. And I think that longing for our place in eternity creates in us also a desire now for some sense of place. A desire now for some sense of place here on this side of eternity, here on this side of heaven. I think we all have this longing for a place that we can call home. A place that we can look at and say, you know what? This is where I belong. There's an author by the name of Robert Putnam who wrote the book Bowling Alone. And it's about how our world has gotten increasingly smaller and smaller and smaller and more and more and more connected with all of the new technology and social media that we have. And yet he says and argues at the very same time, people are growing more and more isolated and more disconnected. So it doesn't seem to be this sense of being home now or having a place to come back to or a place to retreat to, a place to feel safe at. I think there is an epidemic where there are far too many people who have no sense of home. And so Putnam says, if you grew up with cable television, video games, and the internet, if you happen to live in the suburbs, you are most likely the most disconnected person on this planet. There are now all kinds of folks who live, sadly, live feeling isolated and alone, who have no sense of place, no place where they can celebrate the great moments and victories and joys of life, and no place safe to go during those dark and difficult times when storms come into our lives and storms come. Friends, we live in a broken world. And sadly, brokenness is an equal opportunity afflictor. And so for far too many people, they will, if using this kind of imagery, they feel like a ship kind of floating out at sea with no sense of direction and a sense of where that safe harbor might actually be. And there are people who live, sadly, they live their entire lives that way. And then they go to their graves not knowing where they belong. And by the way, just an aside here, it is that desire to have a place to belong that has given rise to the gang culture, whatever gang that might be. You see, gangs actually get the idea of place better than we do. Now, not many people know this, but part of my story growing up in Cleveland was that I was a part of a gang. We called ourselves the Spring Garden Wildcats. We were a bunch of white third graders who ran our street. And everybody else knew that, especially guys from around the block, the Rockway Bullies and the Archdale Angels. I mean, hey, nobody played baseball on the corner lot of our street without asking us first. That's just kind of the way we rolled. That's who we were. But you know, friends, the reality is for gangs, it's all about place. It's all about your street or your neighborhood or your city or your people. And sadly, people are willing literally every day to die for their neighborhood. Human nature, there's something that is so core to their identity from the street that they grew up in or the neighborhood that they are part of. Not only will they die, but sadly they'll even kill for it. Now, obviously, I mean, that's taken this to an extreme, but I think you get the idea. The importance of place and how place shapes who we are. But you know, there are so many people who don't have any sense of home or the place where they're from or where they're living now and how that really shapes who they are. There's a grandmother in our community. She's raised her children and her grandchildren. And before they go out of the house, she always says to them, remember your family name. Remember who you are. And remember whose you are and act accordingly. And sadly, I think a lot of people don't get that. And if you can see, as you can see, even more than just a question of place, it's really a question of people. It's not just about who you are, where you're from, but who are you a part of? A question of where becomes a question of who. A search for a place becomes a search for a people that you can identify with and say, yeah, these are my people. They represent who I am, and they shape who I am, and I actually shape who they are. And if you really want to get kind of a clearer picture of that, just, friends, look at the life of this guy by the name of Apostle Paul. If you remember from the book of Acts, this is a guy who clearly understood his purpose originally and his passion that we talked about last week in the beginning stages of his life. And that was basically, read the book of Acts in the early chapters, to wipe out the Christian church, to exterminate it and kill anyone who claimed to be a follower of Jesus. That was his purpose and his passion, and he gave his life to that. And then as you read in the book of Acts, Paul actually met Jesus on the road to Damascus, and it changed everything for him. So now by the power of the Holy Spirit, his whole purpose, his whole passion got turned, if you will, upside down, and he found himself without a place. I mean, the people that he used to be a part of really wanted nothing to do with him. Actually, matter of fact, they wanted to kill him too, because now he was a follower of Jesus. But as you read his story in the book of Acts, you start to see him discover and realize who his people are now, where he's from, and who he's with. And again, brothers and sisters, it's not just about geography that defines him anymore, but a group of people that radically and totally shape who he is and define the way that he lives his life in Jesus. They become his safe harbor. And that safe harbor was the church. That's who it was for the Apostle Paul. It was the church. And you remember as a kid, here's the church, here's the steeple, open the door. What's the church? It's just people. And instead of me kind of giving you Paul's theological ideas, Paul was a great theologian, about church and community and all that, I thought I would just share a couple of references here. And the first is this one from Romans 1, Romans 1, 10 through 12. It's where the Apostle Paul says this: one of the things I always pray for is the opportunity, God willing, to come at last to see you. For I long, he writes, to visit you so that I can share a spiritual blessing with you that will help you grow up in the Lord Jesus. I'm eager to encourage you in your walk of faith, but I also want to be encouraged by you. And in this way, each of us will be a blessing to each other. End of quote. Or take these words from Philippians 1, 7 and 8. Paul says to the church there at Philippi, it is right that I should feel as I do about all of you. You have a very special place in my heart. We've shared together the blessings of God. Both when I was in prison and when I was out defending the truth and telling other people this good news about Jesus, God knows how much I love you and long for you with the tender compassion of Christ Jesus. End of quote. Do you see, friends, here is this radical church leader, brilliant theologian. And what is he saying? His heart's desire, he's just longing to be with his people, to be at home with them, to find safe harbor with them. And there are certainly other passages just like these. There is this intimate picture of a core truth and reality that Paul lived the rest of his life with, and that is, We are nothing without a place. We are nothing without a place. We are nothing but adrift in the sea of life if we don't have a harbor to be sent out from, like Paul was, and a harbor then to come back home to. Now, brothers and sisters, my hunch is that what got Paul through those long winters and prison stays and difficult times was this longing that soon, very soon, he'd be able to go back home. Whether it was to this church or that church, Paul thought, you know, I have a family, I have a safe place. And again, the church was that place. The church was his harbor. The Apostle Paul got something I think each and every one of us longs to have. So the question this morning is, as we wrap up this series, the question is for you and for me, where is that place? Where is your place? Who are the people who you live with this life, the ones that send you out so that you can fulfill God's purpose in your life with passion, and the people that you can come back home to? Who is that? And where is that? What does it really look like for you? You know, for me, 34 years ago, Southwest Florida became my place in this world. And along the way, it became my home. And there were people from this place who define in so many ways who I am. And I was sent out from that place. And there were times I longed to come back to this place. But to be honest with you, when I had the call to come here 34 years ago, I knew it was God's plan for me to be here. And I wasn't sure, and I actually fought God pretty hard. But we came for a visit, and people made this place our home. They made a church named St. Michael my home. And the people there captured our hearts because they became our family. Now, I feel that way about the congregation I was privileged to serve for 32 years. But brothers and sisters here at Thrive, what I'd like you to wrestle with is this. What do people feel when they first walk into this place? What do people feel when they first walk in? I know some of you, you've been here from the very beginning of this ministry. You've gone through the ups and the downs, but you've made this place what it is. And I want to say, as a shepherd, your faithfulness to serve here, to be a volunteer here, to be involved here in ministry, to stay here, has made this ministry and home what it is. But whether you've been here before or you're just here this morning, God bless you for the very first time. Our prayer is simply this. What we earnestly pray for is that this would become your place. That this would be a place where you get connected to our Savior Jesus. And you get connected to other people who can help shape you into who you are by God's grace. That this could become the place that you could call home. Where you can be sent out to go fulfill the purpose that God created you for with passion. And the place that you can always come back to. That is our prayer. And all God's people say, Amen.